Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, Jackie.
Well, let's see. The energies are absolutely nuts tonight, so it should be a fun show. Hopefully, we'll be on the air through the entire show. And tonight's subject, change. How do you find solid ground when you're standing on what feels like quicksand? And through all of this, you are the inspiration to others. You hold the key. This is what you came to do. So some people's lives and beliefs are being turned upside down, and where do they turn? You must also be the neutral observer and believe in their ultimate awakening. I found the subject really interesting. Oh, the team just loves to mess with me. I feel kind of like Merlin, my dog, you know. the show title was because of what I'm seeing around me, which is just dramatic change everywhere. And then I got this wonderful piece from Lauren Gergo. Hopefully I've written all that down. I have no idea, but this is, you know. Anyway, so this week I had a very interesting thing, speaking of change. I had the editor of MUFON magazine, which is the Mutual UFO Network, huge, very patriarchal organization. And they are really interested in nuts and bolts. You know, they report all the sightings and interview the people who've seen UFOs. And, you know, they have quite a catalog. And they're very interesting. They remind me of people that run the unions. Whenever I've seen them at a conference or anything, because I live in Las Vegas, we occasionally get to see, you know, they have the union bosses, and that's kind of what the head of MUFON reminds me of, with all of his entourage.
The MUFON Union.
Oh, sorry?
The MUFON Union.
The MUFON Union. So anyway, the editor of the MUFON magazine contacted me and said they were going to do a kind of a special on celebrating women in ufology, and that my name had been given. And asked me if I'd write an article, and I was really excited. And originally he told me 2,500 words, and then he changed it and kept cutting it down, and I thought, no problem, he needed it right away. So I wrote this article, and I skimmed over everything in terms of my history, but the team had some things they wanted to say to these people, and so that was really the guts of it. And and I was tailoring it, you know, to this patriarchal organization, Nuts and Bolts, because they tend to think of channeling and, you know, contact with other beings through other than actually seeing a ship as being, you know, a little airy-fairy. So anyway, I send the article in with my bio, so on and so forth, and I within half an hour, get a message back. And he was very excited, by the way, and said, you know, it's really time for this. You know, he had seen my website, and he was excited. And he wrote back and said that the board of directors had canceled the whole idea. And so not only me, but all of the other women that he had contacted and asked for articles, and I knew he felt terrible, so I wrote him a nice note of encouragement, but I thought it was very interesting, and I didn't really understand it for me, you know, because generally I'm not pulled into something like that and then cut off, although lately it's been a very interesting time that I've been absolutely cut off from men. Go figure. I mean, I get contacted even by a man who's a mutual friend of a friend, and we had talked a couple of years ago, and a very lovely gentleman, and who wrote and said, you know, I think it's time we finally meet, don't you, and blah, blah, blah. And everything has been shut. It's just all of a sudden I feel this wall go up, and shut it off. And I'm like, all right, you guys, what the heck is going on? And I do get this feeling that they're not going to let me miscreate anything. That part I was getting loud and clear. At any rate, I get this article, so I'm just going to read a little excerpt from it. Many of us have been going through a sincere rough patch the last couple of weeks. This has been in varying degrees since the equinox, but the last 2 weeks have been especially unkind. I gave up everything, including my heart, soul, and every breath I've ever drawn, to partake in the transition, and now as I witness the crumbled pieces of what's left of my mortal life, I wonder, is this all my fault? Did I do something wrong? Why do I find myself in this limited place where I feel like I have no choice but to continue on this path, that any plan I try to execute will be thwarted, and that I will have no choice but to come back to this place where any kind of joy is fleeting, but pain and suffering seem eternal? I'm just reading some excerpts out of this article. Do you know why there are lightworkers like me who are in awful situations and lost places? My whole life feels like it never fit me. I am so uncomfortable. Everything feels like a complete opposite to what I believe in and hold dear. It seems so traumatizing to wake up here every morning. It's like ash in your mouth. There is no light here and nothing grows.
Whoa.
Yeah, really. You are not alone in this by far. Many who walk beside you on this timeline are experiencing similar isolation and disconnection from truth. This came from the Arcturians. May we suggest that when you are undergoing a period of disconnect, wading through the void, as we say, that you instead look to your external environment for clues to what is already on its way to you. The last energetic ties to the old paradigm, the old earth, and its ways of creation are being severed, unplugged, and removed from your energy field. And you are simultaneously being fully replugged into the new matrix. This severing period places you in an energetic holding space for two reasons. So that you are blocked or protected from creating any further realities from the expired karmic grid matrix. And so that you take the necessary time out to nourish and support your body through this radical cellular healing initiated by the biological restructuring and mutation into the crystal vibration. That was a mouthful. Hopefully, did that make sense, Veronica?
Yeah, it did. But it's really a lot to comprehend. Maybe you need
it is a lot to comprehend. And basically, what they're saying is, okay, we are totally being disconnected from the old, and unable to create in the old, so that we don't get hooked into it, as we are being reconnected to the new. So we're in the void, in essence. That's the reason I told the story about the men. You know, I have to relate to something physical.
Well done. Well done.
Your physical cells are undergoing deep transformation at this time. This part of the journey is very taxing on the physical body. And when your vitality is low, your perceptions and your outlook is at risk. I really understand this one, although I'm doing a lot better. There are few words that we could share that would lift the suffering of disconnect, for you are creators. This is important. And so your natural tendency is to create. Now, the frustration of being creators and not feeling like we're creating like we normally do is unbelievably frustrating. And we know people who are in this very bizarre space right now where what's happening to them makes absolutely no sense without this information. To be blocked from participating in the creation of your desires is nothing short of a living death. And so we assure you, even if it's, again, through words, that you will come through this cellular integration with a renewed sense of life, a renewed love, a renewed desire to create, and a renewed sense of confidence in your many abilities. Thank you. The cellular rejuvenation has been nearly multiplied to allow for the full descension of your spirit body into form. So in essence, you know, we're integrating more and more and more of our spirit. So we're in this kind of giant holding pattern. Now, what's interesting to me is all of the channelings that came in this week, and I got one late tonight, are basically kind of referring to something similar. The one that came in tonight was really, really close. Be at peace with the end of life as you know it. Be at peace with the physical resurrection required to attain mastery. Be at peace with the unknown. But mostly be assured that all of this is bringing you exactly what you most long for. So, you know, seeing so many people walking through this right now, it's also painful for us to watch because we love them so much. And so, you know, I sent copies of this off to a couple of people right away at these channelings because I was so excited to see what they had to say. The team has talked to them in different ways about things, but this, to me, was very succinct, you know, and it's not a matter because I looked at everybody else's when I said, okay, the information's coming in pretty clear. The team just kind of winks at me and says, just be patient. You know, one of the big things for me is learning to trust and let go, and I think we all have this issue.
Especially if you're moving into the void, you feel like you're letting go into what? A sand trap.
Total unknown.
Yeah.
And you feel the problem that it brings up is this sense of not being supported.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, look, everything I've done, I'm devoting my entire life, as this woman said in the beginning, devoting your entire life to this whole process, knowing that you came here for the ascension and looking around and going, what the heck, you know? So in a lot of people feeling abandoned and confused, and for them, hopefully this is good news.
Give them a little grounding and something that feels groundless.
Yeah. I think so, Veronica. And I like I said, I was really excited. I know for me, the only thing I've really been able to do is work. And work on family, which I thought was really interesting. And I could see this coming in, and I said, okay, surrender. Obviously, you're clearing up a lot of old stuff here. And I have the whole family coming to visit. Of course, when I say family, my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, which I can't believe I have. I know one woman that is a collective that I work with that is an amazing being. She is a real walk-in because when we do sessions, we work with her vessel as well as her, and it requires separate work to work with the vessel as well as work with what she is a collective. And it's a very interesting it's probably the most expansive work I've ever done in terms of working with it's like working with a choir. And so she's been really frustrated about her contact with her divine resources and where have they been, and she's going through all of this stuff that's happening with a company she runs. You know, she's the CEO of a major corporation, and things are in total chaos and complete reorganization, just like the planet. I mean, to me, what's going on in her corporation is a direct reflection of what's happening on the planet right now, especially, you know, on every level. I mean, this woman has spent years and millions of dollars setting grids all over the planet. I mean, an amazing being. But she's been incredibly, incredibly frustrated that all of a sudden, no support, no contact. It's like she felt completely abandoned. And, I mean, it's just one situation. It doesn't mean that everybody isn't feeling this in their own way. But, you know, what I kept seeing is that she had to go to neutrality, had to go to neutrality, and she's been dealing with integrity issues of other people that are extraordinary, again, reflecting kind of the breaking down of things that we see going on our planet that have been going on for so very long, with the banking industry and politics and, you know, Wall Street and, you know, so here in this one corporation, it's got the whole thing going on. Mm-hmm. Then just before the show, so I just got a thing again from Squirrel on from Solara, and different phrasing, but basically kind of saying the same thing. The sense of unsettledness is also bringing up to the surface any issues of lack of integrity within us or others. Again, I was fascinated because I'm seeing this.
I am too, actually. Yeah.
Are you? Yeah.
Yes, and somebody told me that last night on PBS they had a show on the Food Inc., you know, the whole food corporation thing and Monsanto and all of that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And it's the same. It's exactly the same as what's going on in the financial world, right?
Exactly. It's
but it's
all
on
reflective.
PBS, like prime time on PBS. I'm going like, so what's breaking and when's it going to break? You know, how's it going to get changed, right?
Well, she goes on to say, when this occurs, it's important that we face them with total honesty. We need to honestly tell others when we see something in their behavior that doesn't feel true or integrous. And if we hold back, we deprive them of the opportunity to have a major breakthrough by transforming this outdated duality-based behavior. So in essence, we're doing the same thing with these corporations. Okay? The breakthrough is this doesn't work anymore. The truth is coming to the surface. We know this. It's been happening for quite a while. On, you know, nothing is hidden anymore. And even if they're trying to hide it, it's like beach balls underwater. They're popping up whether they want them to or not.
And interestingly enough, I was thinking the other day about how much political stuff has been left unspoken for, to me, years and years and years and years. Stuff people knew. Right now, at least it's being spoken about, you know?
Example?
I'm thinking about the old, my guides call it the oligarchy, the political stuff and the Goldman Sachs and so on. And we've known that there are people that were spearheading financial greed, if you will, all over.
Absolutely.
And nothing was said. A lot of us just tuned out and refused to even play because it was all a dirty business, right? It's just over and over again, I keep seeing in my history anyway and stuff that I've read, is that people just have not been saying anything or have not acknowledged it. Now it's sort of wagging its tail right in our faces sort of thing, and we're finally maybe waking up to say something. And you have to. Right?
Well, it's interesting. Michael Moore, who was on the Bill Maher show, which is an
nice
HBO
Nice combination,
show.
Eh?
Yeah, what a combination. And he was telecasting live satellite from in front of Goldman Sachs on Bill Maher. I love this. Okay, this was a couple of weeks ago. And he was really throwing a fit because he was sure they were going to shut down the satellite feed, okay, because there are people that don't want this information out. Right. And he was basically jumping up and down and pointing to the building saying, why aren't these people being indicted? Why aren't they being arrested? This is what's really going on. And God bless Michael Moore. You may or may not agree with him. But he's a courageous guy.
He just keeps doing it, doesn't he?
Absolutely. I mean, there is no place that he won't go.
What was Bill Maher doing? Was he really with it? He was angry.
Yes. I mean, you know, Bill was laughing about the satellite feed. You know, they knew it was a matter of moments. They didn't know how long they'd be on it. It did kick off at one point and then came back on.
That's funny.
It is good. Funny. But it's
also very good.
Well,
talk about reality TV.
I think, well, and that's another point also, Veronica, and I think that's why we're going, I mean, we know production costs are a big reason why television is going to reality shows, okay? But the reality shows will lead to, all right, the introduction of things that are otherworldly.
Yes, yes, for
the
sure.
Bridging into new areas of understanding. That's where the reality shows are going to ultimately lead.
Yes.
So when I look at all of these things, I say, okay, well, it may not make sense today, but down the road, everything I'm seeing, it has a direction that it's going in. And that's very exciting for all of us because we've been waiting to see the changes. You know, is this finally going to happen? Are we going to see it in our lifetime? Are we really going through ascension, you know? And
well, even like your MUFONics or whatever it is.
MUFON, yes.
Sorry.
You're so rude, yes.
But well, we were talking about it the other day, and I'm laughing going, you know, your truth can spill out all around that particular sentinel and really get a lot farther. You know what I mean? There's so many people talking around those great icons of who knew what, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
It's exciting. And I want to put your article on my website. Can I do that?
Absolutely.
It's very good, ladies and gentlemen, and it's a really wonderful thumbnail. This is what we're on about. This is what we're doing. And, yes, these readings that you're doing are covering a lot of the gray areas in between, but what you've written is very succinct and really a good ladder, you know?
Well, and I don't do succinct well, so that was a real feat.
Because they told you it was in a hurry, probably.
Well, it was in a hurry, and I had limited words that I could use. And as soon as he cut it down from 2,500 to whatever it was, you know, I knew I had to be succinct, which was actually, plus I was writing to that audience, to the
patriarchal
audience.
Well, I love when he said,
audience.
This is what we're doing, blah, 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 and I go, oh, that makes it sound a lot more logistically oriented than what I feel like sometimes.
Well, I think, you know, for men especially, they need to be able to look at something from a logical perspective or at least a quasi-linear perspective right. And be able to say, okay, all right. You know,
phase one.
Yeah, the team got their, you know, their messages in, which I thought were great.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were very, although I was, you know, I was very careful. I didn't say, and here's a message from the team. But
why?
Well, I think I did in so many words.
For the ufologist, yeah.
Yes, for the ufologist. For the ufologist. So if you've ever been to a ufology conference, the you know, 99.3% of it is all people presenting their experiences with third kind encounters, be they, you know, or second kind, you know, whether they're ships or on, you know, pointing their finger at the government or wanting, you know, everybody is kind of on that track. Okay. Look at this is going on. The government's not telling us. And other than Dolores Cannon, and of course, Adrienne DeVere, who was there the one and only time when I went. And, but.
So they're not just big experiencers, teaching how to experience.
No, they're observers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're wanting. What they're really wanting is a major landing. You know, they're wanting major contact. And in the article, that may have really thrown a curve, which was there will be no mass landing. And, you know, when the team said, I said, are you sure you want to say this? And the answer was yes. Give them the truth. Put the responsibility squarely back in their lap. And, you know, that sightings were winks and, you know, hide and seek, you know, catch me if you can. In other words, open up the doors to start learning, growing, experiencing, okay? You know, many people have had sightings where they're in a group of people and only a couple of those people saw the ship, the others didn't. I always love these because it's a dimensional experience.
But why are you picked? And you know what I mean? Is like, what is the motivation for picking certain people? Is it an innate higher frequency? Is it a soul journey?
It's a wink. It's time for them to get something more concrete to drive them forward. Okay? It really is. I mean, my siding with my children in the 70s was very big for me. Absolutely, you know, had a huge impact on my consciousness because they spoke into my head. It was, you know, this was totally beyond my understanding. And, but it blew me wide open, and I've always been on a spiritual path, but that blew me wide open. And the ship passing over the car and, you know, the engine going off, the radio going off, the lights going out, you know, and here we are all of a sudden in a shifted dimension where there isn't another car to be seen on a flat surface that you can see for miles on a clear night. There isn't anybody anywhere but us. And this ship, which I could have reached out the window and damn near touched the bottom of. So, I know.
How many years did it take for you to really make sense of it? I mean, what I mean is to integrate it and to really turn it into a mission sort of thing.
Well, I immediately started interviewing. We had a real estate company right outside of a military base. We had 45 salespeople. Every time a pilot walked in, it was an Air Force base. Every time a pilot walked in, I took him aside and questioned him. Interestingly enough, I didn't have one pilot that denied seeing UFOs.
Wow.
Not one. I found that fascinating.
It is fascinating, actually.
And especially for the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And because many of the people at that base were going back and forth to Nellis, which is here in Las Vegas. That was up in Utah. And so I had validity that, yes, I wasn't the only, because I knew if I experienced it, other people had to be. There had to be something to this. And so it was, and I mean, I tried to outrun the ship. Only me. I tried to outrun the ship, and all I could do was swear at my car because it wasn't fast enough. And it happened to be a car I didn't like. So
was it pink?
No, it was before that. I got all the good ones after that. It was a huge, and after that, people started bringing me things. I moved to Vegas and close to Area 51, and I had people bringing me manuscripts and all kinds of information the rest of my life about UFOs. I mean, everywhere I went, strangers would come up and say, "You need to read this book here."
Wow.
So, it was not anything I could, I would have, there was just no way I could deny it. I used to say to people, "Why are you giving me this stuff?" And I used to throw it all away.
And what did they say?
Because you're supposed to know.
Hmm.
And they had this huge feeling that I was the one that was supposed to know. I had one woman who had spent all this time aboard ship and, you know, had written this whole manuscript. I mean, today I feel terrible that I got rid of this stuff. But everywhere I went, it was uncanny that people would come to me. And I was at the Sausalito Yacht Club. And I used to go there with my girlfriend because she had a boat moored there. And not in the, you don't moor it at the club, but everybody, she happened to be a member. And this man who was part of the people running the club looked at me, a very highly educated man, and he said, "I have a book for you to read. I will have it here for you when you come next week. Just ask so-and-so and they'll give it to you." And I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Because you're supposed to know this information. And I know these people, I've been involved, blah, blah, blah." And it was, unfortunately, I can't remember the name of the book, but it was written by a colonel who actually saw the extraterrestrials that were confiscated from the wreck in New Mexico. And, you know, Corso, I think his name is. And it was, I think it was The Day After Roswell, I believe is the name of the book. Fascinating, absolutely fascinating. These were all real people. And since then, his son has become a major speaker and speaking on the circuits. So, you know, this was, it was just a very odd thing for him to give me this book and insist that I read it. But this is my whole experience, and always has been. So I think for a lot of people, this blows open their consciousness. Daryl Anker, who channels Bashar, had the same experience. You know, he was downtown L.A. And, I mean, literally. And Bashar's ship came in very close. Nobody else saw it. But Bashar, and there were two other people with him, they saw it. And that was his first contact with Bashar. So, you know, again, it is, I don't know how we got on this subject tonight, but at any rate, we're going to start having some major breakthroughs. With everything that's happening on right now and this disconnect that's occurring, I think that we're going to see, and I'm actually excited because I had gotten the message from the team just to hold on, that no matter what was going on, to trust it. And not get excited. And, you know, I kind of play with them, too, because I'm like, and I stop my foot, put my hands on my hips, and, of course, they just laugh at me.
The reluctant prophet.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, we're we're family. You think I don't throw my little tizzy fits? I do.
They've got a good sense of humor.
Oh, incredible sense of, absolutely incredible sense of humor. You have no idea, absolutely no idea.
Right.
Anyway, she goes on, and I just want to finish this. This is all part of the massive unpinning process that we are currently experiencing on a global level. We are not only being unpinned from our old lives, old habits, old behaviors, and old ways of doing things, but we're being unpinned from the way things used to be and what we used to consider normal. Which is, normal is kind of a funny, I don't even use that word in my vocabulary. And again, I want to say that ultimately we have to believe in people's awakening and love them. This confronting people in terms of integrity, confronting not only other people but also ourselves, for people who are out of integrity. And I found myself confronting someone the other day, and you and I talked about this, Veronica. It was the first time that I had actually done this in this way, and I thought, wow, how it was just mind-boggling to me that it's so clear now, and it wasn't clear at all before. But I had projections and things involved, as you know. We talked about this. And so it's not a matter of beating them up and holding them down and telling them how horrible they are. It's a matter of saying, look, this is what I see. This is what I know. It doesn't work. Here's a different way to do it. And this is what the universe is supporting right now. It won't support your old behavior. You know, it's that simple. If you want to move forward, here's the way to get there. But to do it without integrity, it's not going to happen. Anyway, let me bring the team in. We've been so long-winded. I've been long-winded. I apologize.
I think that was pretty interesting stuff, Jackie. And I'm sure the team will be interesting, too.
Well, you know that you never ask me a question unless you want an answer. I'm a wealth of stories.
Yeah, that's the path, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It absolutely is. And so, you know, that's... All right. Welcome, 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 everyone. Veronica, welcome to you.
And to you.
And speaking of stories, that's the very thing that you'll be doing with your television show.
Yes.
all right? Bringing people forward who have stories to tell, things to share, new information. Bridging into the new world. Opening that door for all those people who have not been exposed. Not just for those people who are already on the path, for crying out loud. It's for that person that says, oh, wait a minute, you know that Veronica, she's somebody interesting, or she's going to have somebody interesting. I think I'll tune in. And getting hooked into a whole new set of information. And these people are ready. And that's why the work you're doing, dear one, is so important. You understand?
It's exciting, isn't it?
Yes, it's very exciting. Very exciting. And it's exciting for all of you. Regardless of what you are doing for a living, we want you all to know that things are changing. You've all waited for this. Now, the channel laughs a lot about how we play with her, and we do, all right, because we don't necessarily want her shouting from the rooftops. Part of her process is a process of discovery, and she ultimately would be very upset. All right, if we gave her all the pieces of the puzzle, then she could never really claim having put the puzzle together. And you would all be disappointed if you had all the pieces of the puzzle. Do you understand?
Yes, it's frustrating.
Yes, of course it is, but it's the process. Yes. And as you come together, and then we were listening to you, both of you tonight, as you come together, your piece and Jackie's piece come together and then lead on to something else. And as you were exploring in conversations, you were actually going in important directions. Very important directions. All right?
Well, that's good to know.
Yes, about disclosure, reality television, all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
All right? That's exactly where it's all going.
And that there is a path in the chaos.
Now, of course there is.
Mm-hmm.
Of course there is. And we want you to know from our perspective, our side of the veil. All right? Lots of things are being done to hold back any form of interference, any form of chaos, that is not constructive chaos, all right, from interfering in what you all came here to do, all right? We are working with you co-creatively on many, many, many different levels that you aren't aware of. Eventually you will be. You'll be happy we were here, all right? But we're not going to interfere. All right, there's a difference. Now, co-create one thing, interfere another. All right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to save us from ourselves and our craziness?
Well, you already know, Veronica, that little things happen that you can feel has a flavor to it. A wink, a nudge. Right?
Mm-hmm.
A little hug that says, yes, we're here. Somebody will say something to you that will trigger a knowingness deep inside of you. And if you look in their eyes, you'll notice that they don't even know whether the sentence or paragraph or came from. Just all of a sudden, they become a vehicle for some information that you just happen to need.
Mm-hmm.
That can lead you down just the right path. Now, this time, we want to talk about this briefly. Please, everyone, let go of your fear. Now, some of you are facing very difficult situations, and we're aware of that. Trusting that you're being led where you need to be led at this timing, and that you're fully involved in the co-creation of the experience. Now, that in and of itself can be incredibly frustrating. Why the hell would I do this to myself? You know, what was I thinking? So based on that, you'd have to sit down and say, all right, there has to be something bigger here than I see. There has to be something beyond this that's quite grand, quite wonderful, and in alignment with everything I've said that I really desire. Now, if you have to give up what you perceive to be your safety and security, which can be very unsettling.
It's happened terrifying.
To many people on the planet. Of course. But you have incredible gifts and talents that no one can take away from you. And we mean incredible in this particular person's situation. Forcing them to use those talents to bring their great gifts forward. Now, is there something beyond that? Is there perhaps the love they've really always wanted or a whole new way of being in their life? Absolutely. Absolutely. Trusting that everything that's happening is all right. You know, for many people who have had illness, especially cancer, they will always say that it was the greatest gift that they ever received because ultimately it changed them in a way that nothing else could have. It opened them, it changed them, it deepened them. Unbelievably. That's just a different avenue to be opened and deepened, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, your version of security is going to change on your planet as well. So bear that in mind. What all of you have relied on as the way things are going to change. Monetary systems and political systems are in the process of changing people. Political systems as well. So
that would be a relief. I told you I wanted you to run for president.
That actually would probably be fun.
Might be a lot more impactful. Yeah.
Well, it would be fun, yes. Now, but don't ever think that we're not involved in some way in what's going on there. Again, co-creatively, and in some ways, we may have to nudge things a little here and there. But not to take away your power. There has to be a collective choice. A desire that is so strong to change things that it gives us permission to do certain things. Remember that. Other than when it comes to nuclear, and that's a whole different story.
Why is it?
Because anything nuclear, Veronica, has an impact not only on your planet, but your planet affects everything else.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. There is nothing that's not connected. And you have to remember as you experience your lives on Earth at this timing that you're living under the illusion that you are separate. From your neighbor, from your planet, and from the universe and the multiverse. And that's all a lie. Now, you will see very shortly, and people are going to be feeling this, that they aren't separate. They're going to become more and more aware, and in some ways more frustrated by the things that are going on all over the planet, the atrocities, the abuses. they're going to realize, all right, as the women that did the vagina monologues so beautifully stated in New York, that what a woman in the Congo is feeling as she's systematically raped,
mm-hmm.
all right, is felt by all of you at some level. There is no atrocity as people go hungry, suffer, that you're not feeling at some level. You're just not consciously aware of it yet, but you will become aware, as we are. You see? That's part of your evolution. And the new matrix is very different that you're being plugged into. That new matrix feels more deeply. Now, not to undo you, but to give you a greater sense of responsibility.
And compassion?
Hopefully, yes, of course. Because once you start feeling things, oh my God. Now, many of you, had this sensing prior to an earthquake or some other catastrophic thing on the planet. But imagine if you started feeling things, these waves of hopelessness coming from different parts of the planet. Wouldn't it create a greater call to action for people? What do you think?
I think so. I guess so. I guess if people really understood what it was, because it can be pretty discombobulating when you get really emotional and feel.
Well, all right, start thinking about the kinds of dreams they're going to have.
That's true.
Don't you notice your dream state's getting a little bit more creative lately?
Yes. I don't remember my dreams, but I'm often fascinated by them, even though I can't put my finger on what it was.
Right. Well, again, if the dream state's more real, you're going to be pulling some of this stuff out of the dream state more and more and more. All right? Just as the channel talked about people just coming up and handing her books and manuscripts and things, you're going to awaken in the morning with this sense, I've got to do something about this or about that.
Mm-hmm.
How do I get involved? How do I participate? Meditatively, and we've said this before, meditatively, taking responsibility for how powerful your energies are, that you can sit down with the intention in your meditative process to send energy to these different places, and healing, and love, and light, and peace. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. Again, as you start embracing how powerful you all are, remember, you've been living a lie for a very long time, believing that you couldn't do anything about it. Well, I don't have enough money or power or influence. How can I change this? Well, you always had power and influence. You just didn't know it. Can that make a difference? Yes. Absolutely. And the more you own it, the bigger the difference. Lazarus refers to it as magic, and we'll go with that.
But in this kind of void time, it does seem like things are overwhelming on the planet, and it does seem like maybe it's impossible to make this shift.
Well,
not that I believe that, I'm just saying it.
No, but in the
really
midst of chaos,
like, mm-hmm.
in the midst of chaos, wouldn't you feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
Because the chaos is so great you can't see. Now think about this. You're still trained to think in a linear process. It's still the way your mind functions.
Mm-hmm.
Not your particular one, Veronica, but... but as a collective, it is. And so when you can't see or conceive a way that things can be changed. Doesn't that add to the chaos?
Mm-hmm. It really does.
Of course it does. And to the hopelessness, which is very important, that you don't go there, that you don't stay there. This is where you have to really work with trust and know how incredibly loved you are.
That helps a lot. We only have, we need to be...
All right, now go ahead and talk about your show, please.
Well, I don't know who's going to be on next week. I have to, I'm waiting for some shoes to drop and some wonderful books to arrive, and so it'll be wonderful, and you can... hear about it 8 o'clock next Tuesday. We will have a wonderful guest. You can email me, Veronica at veronicaantwistle.com to find out who it is, because I don't know yet either.
All right.
And Thursday night at 7 o'clock, we'll be carrying on. We've been discussing fear as a limiter, and it's been a really vital and lively conversation.
Wonderful, wonderful. We're so glad you're doing that.
It's really been exciting, I think, you know.
Absolutely.
Thank you
Dispelling
so much.
Dispelling fear at every turn.
Yeah.
Dispelling fear at every turn. That is the illusion.
And as oftentimes it's discovering where it is in you, isn't it? Like discovering
yes.
if it is existent at all.
Oh, well, you all have it. It's just a matter of getting to the basis for it.
Yes.
All right. Sometimes it hides under something else as you're discovering. Now, as always, especially for any of you that are listening for the first time tonight, we love to work with all of you. It is a great joy for us. So tonight, as you go into your dream time, if you will call us in, dear team, please come work with me tonight, only if you feel safe and comfortable. And we would like to work with you, to love you, to give you a sense of peace through this experience, some assurance that you're going to be all right. That there really is a plan. And yes, that your futures are very exciting. And that nobody forgot about you. All right? No one forgot about you as you go through this disconnect into a whole new set of experiences. Know that we love you, dear ones, so very, very much. Veronica, Robert, we know you're there as well in the background. Seth, wherever you are. Until we speak with all of you again in this format, we send to all of you our total, complete, unconditional love. Namaste, dear ones.
Namaste.
Oh, good night, everybody. Night, Veronica.
Good night, darling. It was wonderful.
It was always fun. It's and I love you.
Yeah.
I love all of you. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. We'll talk with you next week.
Good night.